Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to your lovely Thursday morning gaming bants. My name is Jules Gill, and I'm joined by the one, the only, the man whose stock never drops, in my opinion, Scott Tailford. Stock Tailford.
Good.
And
yes,
we are here today on this lovely Thursday to present to you some gaming news in a nice, calm, and relaxed manner where nothing dramatic is going to happen. Except, of course, the jingle.
Hot dang, there's news, give it all you got. I guess it's time for Jules and Scott.
Oh, only me who's arrived in the studio today.
I don't know what you were doing there. You just sort of did a move.
You don't know what I'm doing. I've been doing this jingle gimmick for about a year and a half.
You didn't introduce the jingle. You just sort of went, blah.
Anyway.
What are you, Ubisoft stock market?
Oh, see, I was going to lead into it. Yes, today we're talking about, there's been a lot of rise and falls of empires. You know, you've got that, the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, the Greg's Empire, which
you
is...
You with your hats and all that?
How dare you? the Shine Empire is the one that's going to be taken over today.
Yeah, that's not good anyway.
But there is one that has seen some tumultuous times. They're actually based just across the road. It's Ubisoft. They've had a bit of an absolute shocker recently. Mm. Now, with all of the focus that's been going on with Bethesda and their sort of Fallout 76 actions, everyone's just been focusing on them. But quietly and quite surprisingly...
They've shot the bed, Jules.
Ubisoft have gone along and they've basically done a number
they've
on
done
themselves.
A mess. Someone's walked in the morning and realised, oh, you really have made a little bit of a mess.
So explain to the kids at home what's going on.
So they published their official earnings report for 2019 going into 2020, and Ubisoft are down 93.8% on overall earnings.
Sorry, I must have misheard you there. It sounds like you said that they're down 93%, which sounds...
93.8%, which is almost 94%. So they're having a bad time, to be honest. A very, very bad time.
That's actually, genuinely, the thing is, that's incredibly worrying because this is a massive studio. And so explain to us what the actual, the figure relates to.
Well, they opened their earnings report by saying that they've had to rely on a lot of previous franchises. A lot of their statistics are based on last year's product or existing franchises. They cite things like Rainbow Six Siege, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. They're the main sort of two. But if you think of the games that they've released this year, Far Cry New Dawn barely charted.
Breakpoint.
Ghost Recon Breakpoint was a complete disaster, a completely undersold. Division 2, for as much as it's a solid third-person shooter, apparently also didn't meet their target requirements. So they don't cite Far Cry New Dawn much in this. They completely stay away from Ghost Recon and The Division. They mention it, not very much. And it's just that in terms of the things that would sustain them across this year, neither of them have. So year-on-year spending is completely down. And they said that, as far as their operating costs, they're very much able to continue based on previous successes. They've had a nightmare of a year.
Okay, basically. Because I was about to say, Rainbow Six Siege is one of their biggest selling games that they've ever put out there. So they can't count that in this year's earning because it was a game that was released before.
There's a weird distinction. I know what you mean. Because if it's based on new IP spend, then obviously that would be a bigger distinction because they had more successes last year. But the way that it comes, the way that they talk about it is that it's this overall income money figure thing, and it's very much down.
But this is what this brings us to a much larger problem, which is you have to look at why these games weren't doing so well. And you've got to look at the fact that it's a sequelization. So you've got The Division 2, people said that they've been there, done that. Breakpoint, they spent an exorbitant amount of money on this. From insider sources, they've said that the amount of money that went into the world creation and the bizarre AI programming that they were
getting
doing
Mr. John Bernthal
and obviously getting the cameo actors in as well was stupid amounts of money. So, but I keep saying this, and you will be able to quote me almost by the amount of times that I've said it. It is not up to the customer to foot the bill of the developer. It is not our fault if you want to spend $115 million on water technology. That is not up to us for you to make that your cost.
And I think in Ghost Recon's case, like the release date of that game, it was absolutely riddled with microtransactions and different currencies and ways to get through the game, which...
They
like,
said that was a mistake. Do you remember that? They tried to get around it by saying that it was an error, that it was a few hours, it wasn't meant to be on there. Bollocks, was it?
It's always going to be bollocks. The in this case, though, with Ghost Recon, they've said that they're releasing this massive overhaul for it going forward, which means that even the people who did sort of quite like the game are essentially just being treated as full-price beta testers or alpha testers.
Well, we've spoken at length before on this sort of like games as a service thing about basically it's the publisher's new way of saying this is going to be an early access until like a year down the line when it will actually be a complete game. Yeah. But buy it now, it's the way of tricking console players especially, I'd say, because you don't have a sort of... early access Steam style thing on that. This is it. This game.
It's not very well communicated. I think as well in Ubisoft's case, they're known for the Ubisoft formula. They're known for like just barely iterating on established things. They tend to just churn out the same stuff over and over again. And for the most part, like a lot of fandoms were happy with that. They know what they're getting.
Oh yeah.
But because every single one of these is a games as a service, The Division had an exorbitant amount of DLC, Ghost Recon Wildlands. People are still playing these games. They're still plugged into the service model. So when the new installment rolls around, if it is just more of the same, it's like, well, why would I even bother buying this? I already have. You know, it's like all these overlapping games as a service things, they don't work.
But that's why we go through to our next point, which is the annualization of video games. Yeah. It's something that personally I've been getting very wound up about recently because of the fact you've had games like WWE 2K20, you've had NBA 2K20 that have come out and they have basically proven that the licenses, the amount of cost that they must spend to keep hold of these licenses, get all of the tech for the new faces and stuff like that, the people that are there, the costs keep going up and up and up. And the only way for these types of annualized games to make this money back is to include things like your Ultimate Team from FIFA, or the ranking things or whatever from any of the other games. And they are microtransaction heavy. The whole joke about it being NBA 2K20 Casino Edition is very on point.
Yeah, and it's like, and like I said, it's doubly worse for someone like Ubisoft who aren't known for like innovation, and you know, like it's not really worth coming at launch day for this brand new thing. You're always better off waiting for a few months down the line when they've patched things out or they've changed things. And it's just, it's weird. They've become like a kind of like a subtle parody of themselves. Like I said, Ghost Recon's apparently being overhauled. There was this whole quote from Yves Guillemot saying that they were listening to feedback and they understand that Ghost Recon's meant to be more of a military game and like, well, obviously. And they said that going forward, they're working on a more radical and immersive version of Ghost Recon Breakpoint. So it's like, well, we are literally going to overhaul this and move away from everything that we did before anyway.
I respect a game developer for holding their hands up and saying, look, we got it wrong. But I don't respect any practice that would have put that out into the public eye, regardless of how it was going to be.
They know what Ghost Recon is.
Exactly. And it's the same sort of thing with those microtransactions that were there accidentally. It wasn't an accident that somebody sat down and programmed them. Those things don't just unfortunately happen. Like, oops, I typed in the wrong line of code. Now I've got 50
skins. I slipped
skins.
And I fell and I mashed all these keys at once and I put a whole storefront in.
But they're not the only ones that are delaying a lot of games at the moment, because obviously EA have said that
Battlefield's going to be delayed until at least 2021. They want to make sure that whatever Battlefield 6 turns into, they want to prioritise quality again. But yeah, in Ubisoft's case, they delayed Gods and Monsters, Rainbow Six Quarantine and Watch Dogs Legion just further into 2020 or 2021. Either because, I mean, for me, it lines up with the 2K20 stuff. So obviously quality control assumedly would be a bigger deal.
Because the amount of backlash that's been going on to these games has basically put a lot of publishers in the firing line of just being like, oh crap, we can't just release these games year in, year
out. And I think that they've kind of realised that like by putting so many games like out that are all, you know, games as a service model, like, oh, stick with us every month and whatever. And like I said, in Ubisoft's case, they really start to mount up and overlap.
You don't have enough time.
No, and like no the average consumer only has so much money they can put into something on a monthly basis, especially with the amount of streaming services that are coming out or just different sort of models that they're all plugged into. It was going to bottom out eventually. And a 93.8% drop is definitely something bottoming out.
But there's always one of the big publishers that has to take the hit for the message to go through, because remember it was EA with the loot boxes the beginning of last...
Battlefront 2 2017.
Yeah, so we had that, and then we've got this with Ubisoft. 2K20 have taken up the whole sort of like, is annualization a good thing for the growth of the industry? And, you know, with the new consoles on the horizon, so many publishers have now just got to be like, okay, is it worth just waiting until the new tech is out so that we can actually start developing for something that actually might allow things to grow? Because as it stands right now, it's like the moment that you know that something's coming to an end, you can almost see the life go out of the eyes of some of them because they're just kind of like, whatever. Like,
I think the door of the new systems is really interesting as an interesting wrinkle on their potential, the way that they'll plan all these things going forward, because a lot of the creatives just need time. Like the amount of crunch that's obviously gone in the industry, you're trying to turn around these games over and over again so fast so that they can cash in on annualization models or, you know, like every couple of years or whatever. By like sort of relaxing the production time, they maybe can't afford to put more time into it, which for me, I think would result in just an overall level of quality that goes higher, because this generation is associated with broken games at launch and all that kind of stuff. And that stuff needs to go away. Whether they're going to wait and that'll just be a generational leap or something that's, you know, happens across the year next year, I don't know. But they seem, at the minute, they're making the right moves for their future stuff, but they've absolutely, like we said, shattered the bed as regards to 2019.
It's absolutely like astounding, because it's like you don't expect the big publishers like this to fall so far, but 93.8%. That's like a worrying statistic.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't technically even look, well, I'm saying I'm not looking at the company as being like, oh no, the company's in danger.
No.
I worry about the people who have put the time and effort into that. I worry about the teams that probably won't get invited back to do an extra job because of the fact that they will be attached to this game that didn't do well.
Yeah.
And it's I understand from a business point of view the reason why sequels and stuff exist and annualizers exist, because it gives consistency, it gives a bottom line that they know is coming in. But the problem is it stunts growth, and once you get to this, you are now left in a situation where you have drilled a hole so deep and mined as much as you can that now you can't get out of the hole.
No, and I think, like I said, like they're one of the only studios that are known for doing this. Like there's hardly any studios that are, you know exactly what you're getting going in, and it's like at some point there's just so little that they can do going forward. Ubisoft have mentioned that they plan on working with Tencent a lot going forward.
Oh, really?
They want to bring all their franchises to mobile, so it's like Tencent is secretly becoming like the biggest, most important company in the world.
Weirdly enough, we only got like that Splinter Cell game was on mobile, wasn't it? Like, that's the only thing we've heard of.
That's Elite Squad.
Yeah.
So they've that's like a thing that brings a bunch of their different IPs together. You can play as Sam Fisher. It's not really Sam Fisher or whatever. But yeah, Tencent have like done the PUBG mobile game, which is really good. Call of Duty mobile, really good. For as much as like Tencent are, like I said, secretly getting their tendrils into everything, including movies as well, they do make really good games.
Well, there we go. I mean, maybe that's the future. Like, maybe we were
sad and tired on Ubisoft.
Maybe we were like mocking mobile gaming for so many years, and it's probably going to come out and overtake it all. But yeah, there we go. That has been the unfortunate case of Ubisoft's stock plummet. Let us know what you think about it down in the comments section below. Are you excited to see change possibly come through, or are you worried about the state of the gaming industry if this is to continue and possibly happen to other people, which could affect their jobs? Mm-hmm. Not fun. If you want to chat to us further, you can do so at RetroJ or myself over on Twitter.
I'm at /LP89. I will remember that one day.
I forgot to say with a zero. It feels weird. I just went at RetroJ without...
You got to add the zero. They'll message another RetroJ.
Oh, man. Find out who actually owns that and ask them if I can have it, because I've had that for years. I've been trying to
get the word out.
Anyway, not the point. Hope that you have a fantastic day, whatever you're getting up to, and we will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.